Earl, and the bear. One morning, after getting ready to school, Earl was sitting at the breakfast table with his lunch packed when his uncle rushed into the house. His mother turned to him and said, "What's the matter? Why aren't you at work?" And the uncle said, "We were going to work this morning when someone said that a bear was in town. Frank saw it, and it was running in this direction. I wanted to come over here and say that you are just to stay in the house until we catch the bear." Earl said, "What about school? Don't I need to go to school?" "No," said the uncle, "not today. Not until we catch the bear. If he's in the neighborhood, you're the right size to be eaten, and we don't want you to be out there with him." And with that, the uncle ran out the door with his big stick. "Oh my, that's exciting that there's a bear in the area. Maybe we'll be able to see it through the window," his mother said as she looked out the window. But then she said, "But Earl, before we stay inside all day, you had better go and close the garage. The last thing we want is to have a bear in the garage." Earl got up and was about to go outside when his mother reminded him that since he was going outside, he should take out the trash and put it in the garage. So he grabbed the bag of trash, went outside, and went over to the garage. The garage door was open, and Earl took the trash into the garage and over to the garbage can. He lifted it up and put the garbage in the can. And when he closed the lid, he looked over, and he saw an old blanket that was now behind his bicycle. He thought, it shouldn't be on the ground, and it must have fallen down from the shelf above it. So Earl decided that he'd better go fold the blanket and put it on the shelf. His mother wouldn't be happy if he just left it on the ground and a mouse started to eat it. She wouldn't want it ruined. He walked over to the bicycle and realized as he got closer that the brown blanket on the other side of the bicycle wasn't a smooth blanket at all, but a nubbly fur blanket. As Earl wondered why he hadn't seen this fur blanket before, he realized that this wasn't a blanket at all, but the bear that everyone was looking for. But this wasn't a big bear, one that was larger than his uncle with long, sharp teeth and an angry face. This bear wasn't much bigger than a turned-over chair. As he looked at it and thought about what size it really was, he saw that there were two eyes looking at him from the bottom of the pile of fur, and that he was looking at the eyes of the bear. Earl backed up a step, but the bear didn't do anything. So, after a moment, Earl took a step forward. He got down on his hands and knees so that his eyes were on the same level as the bear's. The eyes of the bear blinked, and Earl said to the bear, "You must be the bear." He said it softly. The bear didn't say anything. Earl wondered how long the bear had been there. It couldn't have been that long. But he knew from his dog Ichabod that animals get thirsty. Maybe the bear was thirsty. Earl slowly got up and got a small pan of water from the sink in the garage and brought it over and pushed it over towards the bear. The bear looked at him, looked at the water, and then drank some of it. Earl said, "And maybe you're hungry, too." The bear looked at him as if it understood, and Earl said, "I'll be right back." He went into the house, and he got his lunch and carefully went back outside without his mother seeing him and back into the garage. He took out his peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he pushed it towards the bear. The bear sniffed it and then ate the sandwich. "I see," said Earl. "You must be hungry and thirsty." The bear looked at him, and with one claw, it tapped once on the floor and looked at Earl. And Earl looked at the bear and thought about the tap and said, "Would you like some more water?" The bear looked at him and tapped once more. Earl went, took the bowl, filled it with more water, brought it over to the bear, and he drank some more. He said, "How about another peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" The bear looked at him and tilted its head and tapped twice on the floor. "No," said Earl, and the bear tapped twice. Pretty soon, Earl had figured out that the bear could answer yes or no questions. He told the bear he'd be right back, and he went and he closed the garage door, and he went and he told his mother that he was going to stay in the garage for a bit and help clean up things. She said, "That's fine, but be careful. Make sure you don't go outside because the bear may find you. Okay, said Earl, I won't go outside. And with that, he poured a cup of milk and took it out into the garage. There, he poured the milk into the bowl and pushed it towards the bear. The bear drank it, and Earl began to ask the bear questions, yes or no questions. The bear would answer with one tap as a yes and two taps as a no. Earl asked questions about where the bear had come from and what happened to him and what brought him here. The bear tapped out answers. And this was his story. The bear was a young, small bear, and he was living with his mother, who was an old, big bear. They roamed the mountains in the forest, far out of town. Life was simple. They ate berries, fish, and grubs. They slept in the winter, and the rest of the year they caught the fish in the stream, and the sun was always shining on them. But one day, into the woods, came big green giants, and life became more cloudy. Earl knew that these big green giants must be ogres. Did they have skin of green and gray? Did they have bristly hair all over them? Asked Earl. Yes, tapped the bear. The ogres had come to the forest, and they began to hunt. They hunted rabbits. They hunted squirrels. They hunted deer. And they hunted bears. The young bear cub said that he and his mother had gone deeper into the woods to avoid the ogres, but the ogres kept following. Day after day, despite hiding in the woods or among the rocks or in the caves, the ogres would find them, chase after them, and poke them with sticks. And one day he and his mother had gone high up into the mountain to avoid the ogres, but they were still being chased. They climbed and they climbed up the rocky slope, high up the mountainside, until finally they came to an edge where the mountain ended. There was only a cliff. But even there, the ogres were below them, coming towards them with sticks. The mother looked to the left and the right, but there was no place to go. And she looked over the edge of the cliff, and the young bear looked over the edge. Far below, a long way down, there was a fast-moving river where they could float away, but they couldn't climb down. The bear could hear the ogres coming up through the forest, and over the rocks they came. They were big, tapped the bear when Earl asked, and their sticks were spiked, and they made happy sounds because they had finally caught the big and little bears, not just a big bear or a little bear, but both of them. The little bear didn't know what was going to happen. He and his mother were pressed between the wall of the mountain and the edge of the cliff. The little bear was watching his mother. She looked at the ogres. And then she looked at her little bear, and then back again at the green monsters with sharp sticks. And suddenly, with a sweep of her paw, she pushed the little bear off the edge of the cliff so that he was falling, falling, and falling. And he fell into the water of the river far below with a splash. As he swam to the top of the water, he looked back to the top of the cliff and saw that the ogres had reached his mother bear and were poking her with sharp sticks and were dragging her with their big green hands. She could not get away from them, so she too could jump. They had captured her. And as the little bear watched, he saw one of the ogres was looking over the cliff, down the long stone wall, down to the river, with a little bear that was now floating away from them and from his mother. Earl had listened to the story and knew the little bear, which had floated away from his mother, was the one that had floated down that river into the lake outside of his town. It had then climbed out of the lake and had tried to get back to the forest, but instead it had wandered into the town. Now, instead of big green giants looking for him, there were men looking for him. Ah, said Earl, so that's why you're hiding in the garage, because men are looking for you, even though you're trying to get back to the forest. One tap, said the bear. Well, said Earl, maybe I can help you. We'll have to get you out of town, but to do so carefully, because men think you're going to eat the small children like me. The bear made two taps. No, he wasn't going to do that. Earl started looking around the garage for ideas of how he could walk a bear that was much larger than Ichabod and even bigger than himself through the town when everyone was looking for a brown bear. He then had an idea, and he went right to work. A little while later, Earl opened the garage, looked around, and pushed his bike out of the garage. Behind his bike, he had tied a wagon. And on the wagon, there was a big pile of leaves. He started to pedal, and he rode away from his house. He was having to pedal hard because the wagon was heavy. There were a lot of leaves piled high on that wagon, and so he pedaled down through the town and towards the gate that led into the forest. As Earl rode past his friend's house, Omar ran out towards him and said, "Earl, are you out of school too?" "Yes," said Earl, "because of the bear." "That's right," said Omar, "but no one's seen him." And then Omar, looking at the wagon filled with leaves, said, "Let me ride with you. I want to jump in those leaves." "No," said Earl, "you can't jump in these leaves. I've spent a long time putting them together, and I have to carry them out to the big leaf pile in the forest." "Great," said Omar. "I'll come with you and help." "No, you better not," said Earl. "Remember the bear." And Omar slowed down. Omar stopped, looked slowly around, and then said, "You're probably right. I don't want to be eaten by that big bear." "Okay, we'll see you later." And he waved to Earl as he pulled the big wagon full of leaves down the street. As he came closer to town, he saw the master mechanic was working in his garden. "Hey, Earl," said the mechanic, "I'm working on my garden. I could use some of those leaves for mulch. Why don't you give me some of them for my garden? You won't have to carry them any further." "Oh, no thanks, Master Mechanic," said Earl. "I promised my mother that I would take all of these to the big pile at the edge of town. She wants me to get plenty of exercise because I didn't go to school today because of the bear. But I might be able to bring you some more later because we have plenty of leaves." The Master Mechanic waved and said, "Okay, thanks, Earl. Maybe later. But be careful. That bear could be anywhere." Earl kept riding his bike and pulling the wagon full of leaves. Finally, Earl came to the gate at the edge of town. There was a guard there. He held up his hand to stop. "You can't go out, Earl," said the guard. "We're worried about the bear. He might have left the city and be just outside the walls. We don't want to let you out and have him eat you." "I'm not worried about the bear," said Earl. "And I have to take these leaves out to the edge of the forest because they'll blow everywhere in the yard." "No," said the guard. "We'd be worried about you, Earl. We don't want to lose any children to bears." "That's right," said Earl. "I certainly don't want to be eaten. But just think, if I see a bear, I'll climb into this pile of leaves and he'll never find me. And I really have to take these leaves to the big pile like I promised my mother. I've ridden all the way through town and she'll be angry with me if I don't." The guard looked at the big leaf pile and nodded. "I guess you could hide in that big pile of leaves. And no one has seen the bear," said the guard. "But don't dawdle out there. Dump the leaves and come right back." And with that, he waved Earl through, and he pedaled his bike and his wagon and his big pile of leaves through the gate. Earl continued down the road and around the curb to the edge of the forest. He pulled into the shade of a big tree, got off his bike, and started brushing away the leaves because the bear cub was underneath. He told the bear, "We're back in the forest. I don't know if you'll find your mother, but at least you're safe from town. The forest is much safer for you." The bear got up and looked at Earl, gave him a lick across his face, which smelled vaguely of peanut butter, and he disappeared into the woods. The end.